like that and smoke cigarettes at the same time, because you can't breathe. Amen. But I'm thankful that Jesus gave his life for somebody like me. I feel like sometimes he got the short end of the deal. In fact, all the time I feel like he got the short end of the deal. I got a whole lot more than he got in exchange. But I'm about to run a lap in here this morning. I already feel good, even early this morning. But he knew exactly what he was getting when he got me. And he still wanted me anyway. I don't understand the grace of God, but that don't mean that I can't enjoy it as I go. Amen? I'm thankful for God being so good to us, and I'm grateful to be back to this place. And I love Calvary Baptist Church. One of the ladies walked up to me and she said, "You know, you're just like family." And I like that. One thing I found out about your friends, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. So we're all in the family together, and I'm thankful for that. I love this church, and those are more than just words this morning. It's a friendship that we exchange with each other, and I'm grateful for it. I want you to take your Bibles real quickly this morning. The preacher said if I go over my time, then I'm not going to get to preach in the next service, so I don't want to go over my time, amen. Go with me to John chapter number 20, if you will, real quickly this morning. And when you find that place, will you stand in reverence of God's word if you can? If you cannot stand, you just remain seated, it's fine. But if you can stand, we'll stretch our legs out this morning. John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. If you know anything about John 20, at the beginning of the chapter is the first day of the week, and this is Resurrection Sunday. This is the day that Jesus got up from the grave. And somebody may say, "Well, this ain't Easter. Why are you preaching on resurrection?" I'm glad that every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. But let me go a step further. Every morning I wake up in the grace of God, it's Resurrection Sunday. Do you know that Jesus can save you and resurrect you from your dead trespasses and sins any day of the week? He can save anybody, anywhere, at any time. I'm thankful for that this morning. But I want to take a story out of this that maybe sometimes we may just skim through and just read to the end of the chapter. But I want to draw a thought out this morning that the Lord's given me to challenge us with the first service of this revival. Verse 24 says this, if you look with me in John 20, 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Can I stop just a minute and say this? It would be a bad thing for us if Jesus showed up somewhere and we're not there to see him. Jesus came, but Thomas was not there when Jesus showed up. And verse 25 says that the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and listen to his words and thrust my hand into his side." Those are some bold words from this disciple. "I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, but this time Thomas was with them. I reckon so. And I like this phrase, "Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then saith he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.'" My prayer is everybody leaves here this morning, not faithless, but believing. "And Thomas answered and said, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." By the way, he's talking about us this morning. "My eyes have not seen him, but I've seen him with my heart." You can have a seat this morning. I feel like preaching. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd help me these next few moments to bide my time and, God, to do exactly what you've called me to do. Lord, help me to preach the word of God just like you wrote it. God, not to interject my own opinions and my own matters, But Lord, to say it just like you told me to say it, help me to bring out of the recess of my memory the things that I've studied. God, let me speak exactly the word that somebody in here needs to hear this morning. I ask that you would speak to them. God, you would use this service this morning to change their hearts. I ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. I humbly pray, amen and amen. It's early for those folks up in the balcony too. It's a bad thing if we ever get to a place in life where we're doing so many other things that Jesus is not a part of it. It's a bad thing that when Jesus shows up in a place that one of his own is not present. Now, I know that I'm preaching to people who this morning, Jesus is in this place. How many of you know Jesus is here? Say amen. But we're also here. We're here seeking him. That's what this service is about. It's not just to check a box off of our religious schedule for the week, but it is to meet with Jesus and have him change our lives. I believe that without a doubt in my mind that many people will miss the will of God. Please don't miss this. Many people will miss the will of God simply for the fact that they are not present when he shows up. People every day are filling their lives and their schedule with so many other things, and Jesus is just a byproduct of what we do. If he is not at the focal point, if he is not at the centerpiece of my life, then I am missing out on something really big. I'll be bold to say this, that if Jesus ain't in the middle of your song, then your songs are self-centered. If Jesus ain't in the middle of your sermons, then your sermons are self-centered. If Jesus is not in the center of your home, then your home is self-centered. If Jesus is not at the very center of your life, he is just on the back burner, so to speak, or he is just a part of what you do. If he's not at the center point of your life is self-centered. It's a bad thing that the disciples were running for their lives on the very day that they should have been running through the streets. They are hiding out in hidden rooms and closed doors on the very day. You would think, can I preach this just a minute? Is that all right? You would think that the resurrection Sunday, that all of the disciples would have been ready to see Jesus rise up from the grave. By the way, he had already told them that in 3 days he was going to get back up again. You would think that the very day, I'm talking about the epicenter of everything that we celebrate as a Christian is based on this Sunday. And on this day, the disciples are hiding and running for their lives. You would think that somebody who's following Jesus, that this would have been the most bold day that they've ever had. This would have been the most joyful day that they've ever had. You would think that this Sunday would have been the day that they would have proclaimed victory. You would have thought it, but you would have been wrong. At the very day that Jesus is getting up out of the grave, his people are running for their lives. Can I tell you something? Things have not changed much in 2,000 years. Of all days that the church ought to be as bold as she's ever been, of all times that the church ought to carry the gospel message, of all times we ought to celebrate that he comes after the rebels and he'll run you down, he'll save your soul, he'll change your life, he'll set you on a new path. Of all days we ought to be preaching it. Of all times we ought to be preaching it, it ought to be this day. But there's a lot of Christians that are hiding out and running for their lives. This morning, I want to preach this thought from the life of Thomas, and I want to say it as boldly as I can, just like this: you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss the will of God. Can I tell you, I'm thankful for the Word of God, the story that we've got of the prodigal son. How many of you love that story? How many of you love that story because you was a prodigal? But can I tell you something? That prodigal made up his mind in that hog lot. He looked around at everything he was living in, and he said to himself, I will arise and I'll go to my father's house. How much better do my father's hired servants have it than I have? I'm sitting here eating slop. I'm sitting here surrounded by filth. I'm sitting here in the middle of sin, and my father's table is being set with good bread and good food. He made up his mind in that place. He said, I'm going back to my father. But I want to tell you that restoration did not happen in that hog lot. Restoration did not happen when he made up his mind, but restoration happened. That boy was fixed. That boy was helped. That boy was changed when he got back to the presence of the Father. Just because you make up your mind you want to do right don't mean that you're going to do right. You've got to get up and go back to the presence of the Father. You don't want to miss the presence of the Lord. Too many people say, I want to be in the presence of the Lord, but they don't do the things that are getting them back to the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you something? You cannot find the right things in the wrong places. You will not experience the right life living in the wrong places. Thomas said in his mind, if this is what following Jesus is about, I don't want to be a part of it. And when Jesus showed up the first time, he missed out. Too many people are missing out. The prodigal son had to go back to the father. The woman with the issue of blood had to get God's itinerary and find out where he was passing by in order to receive her healing. There was a man that was let down by a bed through the roof, but that man didn't get fixed until his friends tore up the roof and let him down and got him in the presence of Jesus. I want to step back and rear back and say it again. Too many of us are missing out on the will of God because we're not getting in the presence of God. Every blind man that got healed left seeing because Jesus passed by. Every lame man took off to running because Jesus had passed by. Jesus showed up in the cemetery one morning, and that man that was in that grave named Lazarus got up and started living again. All because life got in the presence of death, and death couldn't handle life, and dead things started living again. I want to tell you something. You don't want to miss the will of God. You don't want to miss it. I was called to preach in the presence of God. God led me to Bible college where I met your pastor in the presence of God. God told me I was going to marry my wife in the presence of God. Can I tell you, miracles happen in the presence of God. I'm thankful to be in the presence of God. You don't want to miss it. Thomas was discouraged. Thomas was down. Thomas was disconnected, and he had missed out on the first time that Jesus showed up. But can I tell you something? I'm glad that Jesus don't just show up one time, but he keeps coming back. In fact, he showed up the first time, and 10 of those disciples, Judas was already dead, Thomas wasn't in the room, but 10 of the disciples, Jesus showed up and gave them something that would change their life forever. But as far as I can read, the only reason he came back to that upper room was for that one that missed out. I'm thankful that if it's just for you, God will show up this week. If it's just for you, God will show up this week. If it's just for me, God will show up this week. I don't want to miss the presence of God. If where you're living today, you do not experience the presence of God, then change your location and get in the presence of God. You don't want to miss it. I want to show you this real quickly this morning, that in order for us to get in the presence of God, number one, there must be an anticipation of His presence. There must be an anticipation of His presence. Watch this. The disciples came to Thomas, and they told Thomas, said, "We've seen the Lord. He showed us His hands and His side. We've seen the risen Savior." And Thomas made this statement, "Unless I see it with my own eyes, I will not believe." Now, many times that's where we cast doubt on Thomas. In fact, we title him Doubting Thomas. But here's what Thomas is saying. Thomas is saying, "I want to see Him for myself." He's saying, "Unless I see His scars, unless I see the wounds, unless I put my finger in the wounds and I thrust my hand in His side, boys, it can't be just about words. It can't just be about what everybody else is saying, but I want to see Him for myself." Can I tell you that in order for you to receive the power of God that you need, you can't go on your mama's words, you can't go on your daddy's words, you can't leave it up to your preacher. Can I come down here and preach? But somebody in the house this morning needs to make up their mind that I don't want to just hear the story of His glory, but I want to see it for myself. There must be an anticipation to the presence of God. You must say, "I've got to experience." Listen, everybody else talking about how good God is wonderful. Everybody else speaking about how God is wonderful. I love to hear the testimony, but I want to tell you, if God jumps up and down in my soul, it's not when I'm just thinking about where He brought you from, but in my mind, while Brother Jackson was singing that song, I went back to the time where I was running for myself, doing my own thing, but then I heard the footsteps of a holy God coming after me. God was reminding me that it didn't just happen for Him, it didn't just happen for them, but I did that for you, and if I did it back there, I'll do it again. It's an anticipation. It's a personal anticipation. It is where you say, "I cannot live off of the religion of everybody else. I want to see it for myself." Brother Dalton, many times I read this scripture and I thought, "Thomas, you're a fool. Thomas, you done lost your mind. Thomas, it's the day of resurrection. And of all people, why? You saw the miracles, Thomas. You tasted the bread that He fed 5,000 people with, Thomas. How in the world could you doubt Him?" But then the Holy Spirit of God starts clearing his throat. God ever clear His throat when you start thinking you're better than other people? Don't forget what just happened last week. Don't forget what you just said a few weeks ago. Don't forget that when I wanted you to say something and speak up, you got too nervous. What about when I told you that I wanted you to preach and you said no? What about when I told you I want you to sing in the choir and you said, "I can't do that. People are staring at me the whole time." Trust me, it can be intimidating. If you could see the faces I'm looking at right now, it can be intimidating. Can I tell you, there's some people that don't enjoy preaching like we're doing this morning. They'll look at you. "Bless me if you can." And I'll be honest with you, I'll be the first to admit, I can't bless you. If He can't bless you, I ain't doing nothing for you. And if He can't change your heart, He definitely ain't gonna change your face. But then God reminds me of this: it ain't about them. This is something personal. There's a child maybe in here right now. There's a teenager maybe in here right now, And the whole time you've been going along, your parents been dragging you to church. They've been bringing you through this thing. You got a mama that will not give up on you, and she's telling you that by the nape of your neck, if I got to drag you through this whole thing, I'm going to drag you through this whole thing. But you going to church and you're going to live right for God. Listen, at some point, you're going to have mama let go of you, and you're going to have to make your decision that I'm serving Jesus, not just because of what my mama did, not just because of what the preacher said, not just because of what everybody else is doing, but I want to serve Jesus because I want to see it for myself. There's an anticipation that every person must have that must be personal. So I want to tell you something. There's going to come a day when your grandma's not going to be here praying for you anymore. But I'm here to tell you that God can still answer prayers even after grandma's already gone. So he said, unless I see it for myself. We get mad at Thomas. But be honest with you, I relate to Thomas some. In fact, I don't know how much time we got. Can I just dig into this thing just a little bit? The Bible says this is Thomas, and it gives him another name. I know you've probably gone over this before with them. Thomas, which is also called, somebody holler that word out, Didymus. Y'all know what that means? I'm sure your preachers preached on this before. Didymus means, literally, it's interpreted as, there is another one. There is another one. It is said that Thomas, at some point in his life, had a twin. There is another one there. It's not just Thomas, but there's another one. Some theologians, some writers, commentators say that Thomas had a twin that was stillborn, and the twin died, and so they always would name him Didymus so that it reflected that there was another one that had been there. I don't know about all that. I've researched it. I can't find any backing to back that up. But what I do know is that every time the Bible speaks of Thomas and calls him Didymus, Thomas is struggling with something. It only happens twice in Scripture that they bring up Thomas, which is called Didymus. And you know what that tells me? Thomas is fighting with somebody else that's there. And I started thinking about it. You know what? I do the same thing. In fact, Paul wrote it like this. I see in my members, there's a war going on in my members. There's two sides of me. There is the spiritual side of me, and then there's the fleshly man side of me, and they battle with each other. Is there anybody in here that you have often fought, not with other people, but the biggest fight that you fight is the struggle within yourself? Can I tell you something? We got a lot of Didymuses up in here this morning. Look at all the Didymuses that struggle within ourselves, that there's somebody else there that's always fighting. You take two steps and say, I'm going to serve God, but then some voice in the background says, yeah, you'll serve it until it gets hard and it knocks you back a few feet. Then you say, I'm going to do something big for God, but then it gets hard. The bills ain't getting paid. The struggle is real, and you don't know how to make it to the other day and to the next day, and now doubt starts sitting in. You know why? Because you just as much Didymus as Thomas is a Didymus. I have to tell my Didymus where he can stay and where he can go many a times. You sound like Didymus. Get out of here. You say you got multiple personalities, you don't even want to know what all I got. Pray for me, I got problems. But that fight in him makes him miss out on the first time that Jesus comes. But watch this. The Bible goes on and says this, that 8 days later. Brother Greg, you know the number 8 in the Bible is the number of new beginnings. In fact, every 8th day of the week, it starts a new week again. 8 is always a number of new beginnings. And the Bible says that 8 days later, I don't know how much theology is in this. All I know is what I read in the Bible said that 8 days after this day, it started a new week. And here Thomas is, and he's sitting on the front row of the church in the upper room. And he's saying, I don't know if he's going to show up this week, but if he showed up last week, I got to believe he's going to show up this week. And I want to see him this time. I missed out on him last week, but I ain't missing out on him again. And Thomas is anticipating God showing up. Can I ask you a question? How much do you anticipate God showing up in your life? You are the only one who has a front row seat to your own life. And everybody else has to take a back seat. Nobody else can regulate how much God you have but you. But can I tell you something? It don't matter who, God help me, I'm preaching, ain't none of this in my notes. It doesn't matter who don't show up in your life. God will still show up in your life. But if you don't show up to see him in your life, you ain't going to see him. That's theology 101. Boom, that's a mind bomb right there. If you ain't there, you can't see him. You're the only one who has a front row seat to see God, and you're the only one who can regulate how much God is in your life. And you have to make a decision. I don't care about none of y'all. If y'all don't want to see him, I'm looking for him. I missed him the last time. I ain't going to miss him this time. There's a personal anticipation. I know I got to wrap it up. There's not only a personal anticipation, but there's also a painful invitation. What do you mean by that, preacher? Watch what Jesus says. Jesus, the Bible says, then came Jesus. I can't get past that. Brother Dalton, every time I read that word, those three words, then came Jesus. I think about that word then, because just before that, it's looked bleak. Just before that, it looks bad. Your life's been the same way. It was alcoholism. It was drug addiction. It was a prison sentence. It was all these things. It was people walking out on you, people leaving you, people doing you harm, doing harm to yourself, doing harm to other people. Before Jesus showed up, it looked bad, but then came Jesus. Why am I in church this morning? Because it was bad back there, but then came Jesus. And the Bible said he walked in the room and he spoke peace to them. Boy, aren't you glad Jesus don't walk in like your mama and daddy and start pointing out everything you've done wrong? Aren't you glad he don't say, you need to clean this up? How dare you? You've embarrassed our family. God don't do that, but the very first thing he says is, peace be unto you. The one I was at odds against, the one that I was indifferent toward, the one that I was disconnected from, he came to where I was and he said, peace. Dear God, I'm thankful he gave me peace. But then he looks at Thomas and he says, Thomas, psst. Have y'all ever had God call you out? I mean, you've been in a church service and everybody else is in here just praise Jesus, glory. And you're just sitting there saying, man, if I could just get some cigarettes, I'd be all right. But you felt like God was staring a hole right through your soul. What was he doing? Psst. You couldn't help yourself. You had to get up and walk to an altar. Jesus said, Thomas, notice what he says. He says, reach hither thy hand. You know what he's telling him? Thomas, you didn't think I heard you, but I heard you. I heard what you said. Have y'all ever had God just lay out on the table and you didn't want him to expose what you had said, what you had done, but he just laid it out there for the public view? I heard what you said. He said this. He said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Put your finger in the nail prints And then he used Thomas's words. Thomas said, unless I thrust, that word thrust literally means to force with frustration. Have you ever been so mad at God? How could you do this? You would never say it in church. I had never been in church with somebody to God. Because you won't do it in public. But your actions do it the same way. Jesus looked at him and said, Thomas, thrust your hand in my side. Do you know what Jesus is doing to Thomas? I don't know if this is helping anybody else, but I'm helping myself. Jesus is inviting him to wound him again. Jesus is inviting Thomas. Have you ever had a cut or you ever had a sore and you don't want nobody to touch it? Your mama, when you hurt yourself at the house and she'd bring out that Miracrome or whatever that junk was called that would burn the hide off of you, and she would start poking around and you would want a woman, I'm about to deal with you, but you know you wouldn't wake up tomorrow. But she just started poking around on the places that hurt. But watch what Jesus is doing. Please stay with me. Don't miss this. Jesus is saying, Thomas, come here. Behold the wounds. Put your finger in the nail. Is that what you want to do, Thomas? Is that what your frustrations brought you to? You want to wound me again? Do it, Thomas. I heard your word, frustration. Thrust your hand in my... Go ahead, do it. You know what Jesus is saying to him? What is it going to take for you to believe me? If it takes you enjoying the pain, if it takes you to experience what those soldiers did to me, if that's what it takes, Thomas, do it. Do you understand that Jesus is asking us the same thing? What more is it going to take for you to believe who I am? Can I tell you that every time I sin under grace, I wound the side of God again. The Bible says, I hope this is helping somebody. The Bible says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Because when you frustrate the grace of God, you with your own doubt and your own misconceptions are forcing your hand in the places that have wounded. I got to be honest with you, if Jesus is standing here this morning, I wouldn't want to thrust my hand. I wouldn't want to poke around on his wounds. I'd want to bandage him up. I'd want to fall at his feet. I'd want to tell him, thank you for taking my pain. But Jesus stands with arms wide open this morning, saying to each and every one of us, what more is it going to take? Do y'all hear that? I thought he was coming back. It ain't going to take nothing. I believe. Lord God. What more is it going to take for you to believe him? Bible goes on and says this. Many other things did Jesus in the sight of his disciples. But they're not written in the scripture. I feel like we missed out on something. I'd love to know, Brother Greg, what those things are. But then he goes on and says this. But these are written that you might believe. I didn't get to see what all he did for them disciples in that room, and I really want to know. But can I say it just like this? I've seen enough for me to believe. I wonder how many of you this morning would do this. I don't know how the preacher wants to do it in this morning service. And if I'm wrong, I promise you, he'll fix me. But can I do this? How many of you would get up out of your seat this morning? Get around this altar and say it just like this. God, don't let me miss it. You don't have to do another thing. I believe. Don't let me miss it. Would you come this morning? That's the sermon. Come on, preacher.
Many are coming. There's plenty of room for you. We can make room right there on these front seats. Don't stay in your seat. Don't miss out on another opportunity. That's it. Come on. Those of you who remain in your seats, I want you to bow your heads. Altars are still open. If you you know what you need to do. So good this morning. What a start to revival. Couldn't have picked a better message. Don't miss out. Don't miss being there. If you're here this morning, it's not by accident. If you're here this morning, it was by divine appointment. Wasn't happenstance. You didn't get up out of your bed this morning and God not know that you were going to be at Calvary Baptist Church. And that same one that we sing about, chasing rebels down, maybe you're that rebel this morning. I was there. I told you that song is my testimony. My best friends know it. Brother Malcolm Carter texted me during the church service and he said, chase them down today, preacher. A reference to that song, because that's where I was at. That's who I was. My favorite part of that song says, if my past is now your present. In other words, if you're in the same shoes that I am, know that God loves chasing rebels down. If you're here this morning, I want you to know God came just for you. Just as He came for Thomas 8 days later, He has come just for you this morning. And this morning He wants to do something in your life that will change you. That will transform you. But God will not impose on your free will. If you're in here this morning, you'd be honest with this preacher. Maybe you'd say it like this. Preacher, if I was to die right now, sitting in this chair, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I don't know that I'd go to heaven. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor and I just want you to lift your hand up. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come to you. But I wonder if you'd be honest with me, preacher. If I died this morning sitting in this chair, I do not know I'd spend eternity in heaven. If that's you, just lift your hand right up, right where you're at, and you can put it right back down. Is there anybody like that? All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the message. I thank you for your presence today. God, you've been so good to us. None of us deserve, Lord, to even sit in your presence. God, you've given us your word. You've given us a place, Lord, that we can gather together and worship. You've provided. Lord, I'm thankful for all the many times, Lord, that I was there. Thankful all through my life, Lord, I was there. I've been married 30 years because I was there. I didn't even know I was supposed to be there, but I was there. Oh, God, you've been so good to us. Saved because I was there. Didn't even want to be there, but I was there. Called into ministry, Lord, because I was there. Blessed over and over again, Lord, just simply because I was there. God, I pray this morning, you write it on our hearts, Lord. Go, Lord, not just into our ears, but God, I pray you'd write it on our hearts. Lord, I pray that some folks in this building will choose to be there this week. Get all you have for us. God, we'll be sure to thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.